doing on Sunday nights is I'm going to be taking time and I'm going to be preaching through the book of Romans. Understand, not teaching, but preaching. And the difference is each week we're going to be looking together at here's some practical applications from a passage in Romans that we can use. Because if I'm asking the question, how do I live a right side up life? The answer is pretty much found in Romans. If there's ever a book in the Bible that just gives you a foundation for what you believe and how you live and how you apply your faith, it is the book of Romans. So I hope you'll be here each Sunday night at 5 o'clock down in the fellowship hall where we're going to talk together about the book of Romans starting next Sunday. And I'm looking forward to that. We're going to have a great time together. When I think about the tragedies of my life, I think one of the things that I remember as a tragic event that happened a few years ago was when I read in the paper that down in Panama City, they had torn the miracle strip down to the ground. It broke my heart. Now, some of you are not old enough to remember the miracle strip, youth, but the miracle strip was my favorite amusement park of all time. For years, when we led our group down to our youth camp, that was one night of the evening for probably 15 years, a night at the Miracle Strip. I love amusement parks. I don't know how you feel about them, but I love them. There's something specific that I really love about amusement parks. I love roller coasters. Don't know how you feel about them, but I love them. Over the past few years, I've had a couple of chances to go with our young people, with Nathan and our young people, to Six Flags. And when we go to Six Flags and we kind of divide up in groups to travel around the park, I never have any trouble figuring out which group I'm going to be part of. I join the group that's planning on spending the day wearing out the roller coasters. And that's what we do. We start at one end of the park and we travel to the others. And we ride every kind of roller coaster you can imagine. Some of them are the old-timey wooden roller coasters, but some of them have the corkscrews and the loop-the-loops and all of those kinds of things. And I love them all. The higher the better, the faster, the more I like it. The more it turns upside down or goes into a steep drop, the more I love it. I love a roller coaster. So if you want to go to Six Flags and you plan on traveling with me, you better have your riding shoes on because we're going to hit the roller coasters. But I have to confess something. The honest truth is, with some of those rides, once they're over and I get off, there's a couple of minutes when my equilibrium has to catch up with my body. You know what I mean? I mean, I understand that my feet are right here on the ground, but the rest of me is still kind of doing this for a little bit. Things seem a little bit upside down until my brain can figure out which way is up and which way is down. That's kind of the way the world has felt to me the last few years. I don't know about you. We've all been trying to figure out which way is up, which way is down. Across these last couple of years as a church, we've had to figure out, okay, what can you do? What can you not do? What should you do this time? How should you change it that time? We have tried our very best, but still the world seems upside down. That's not just here. That's what you've been experiencing at work. That's what you've been experiencing at home. That's what you've been experiencing when you go to the grocery store. Whatever happens, you kind of have to feel like the world is not the way it used to be. We dealt with a pandemic. The news seems to constantly change. Our minds keep spinning over the speed of change in technology. I have to confess, this past weekend, my son came home. His family came home, and part of them being home for the weekend was I put him to work. I said, okay, here's what's not working with my television. Fix it. And he did, because technology's changing all the time. How do you do this? How do you do that? How can you make this happen? Everyday world events seem to affect us at the speed of light. But really, none of those things are what I'm talking about when I think about the fact that we live in an upside-down world. I'm really concerned about how upside-down the world has become spiritually and morally. It seems as though every day, every week, things are changing. Things that once seemed like unchanging principles are turned upside down. Things I thought never would happen seem to be happening with greater frequency every day. It seems as though the only things that are wrong these days are the things that have always been right before. My heart hurts for young people who are constantly bombarded by messages about change this way you think, change that way you believe, change this that you identify with and that that you identify with. And it seems as though somewhere along the lines those unchanging spiritual principles have gotten shoved into a corner where you're not supposed to talk about them. A few years ago, life was pretty easy. There were men and women, boys and girls. Now they tell me there's more than 50 ways to identify your gender. The other day I was listening to an interview with a well-known public figure, and that person used 5 different descriptors to tell this is who I am gender-wise. It was amazing to me. Seems as though in every area of life people have made the decision that it's up to me to decide who I want to be. It's up to me to decide what kind of person I am. It's up to me to decide what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. And there are no truths that always apply to everybody all the time. Here's the problem, though. The problem in this upside-down world is the Lord has never signed on to that attitude. The Lord has never agreed, you make your own decisions. He continues to say in his own stubborn way, this is good, this is bad. This is right, this is wrong. This is true, this is false. This is the one you can follow. These are the truths you can trust. He still tells us that when you try to choose your own way, you've chosen a broad way. And he's also said, and that broad way leads to destruction. If there's anything that's obvious to us in the world today, it is simply this. We live in an upside-down world. And we need to learn how to live with a right-side-up faith. Because while the world is turned upside down, the Lord is still challenging us to live right side up. Lives committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lives that are consistent with the truth of his word. Lives that are a clear witness to our commitment to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's why I've chosen this theme for 2022. Because the Lord has no desire to see you struggling in a world that is filled with spiritual confusion. He wants you to know there continues to be a straight and narrow path that leads to life. His word continues to reveal bedrock truth in a world of constantly changing values. And in the weeks to come, we're going to spend some time together looking at what it means to say, I want to live a right side up life. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the heart of the gospel, and we're going to take apart the very essence of the gospel in a powerful way. After that, we're going to look at a series that I'm calling A Day in the Life, and we're going to take one chapter out of one gospel, and we're going to look at the lives of the people who encountered Jesus in that one day and find out how their lives were transformed, because those people became completely different after they encountered Jesus Christ. After that, we're going to move on and we're going to look at the centrality of the cross as we move toward Easter time. And over these next months and through the year, we're going to look together at the fact that God truly wants you to be able to live a right side up life. God truly wants you to be able to live with confidence and assurance that you are in the center of God's will. We're going to begin this morning in 2 Thessalonians. Because there the Bible identifies 4 qualities that have to be present in your life if you're going to maintain your spiritual equilibrium and not find yourself feeling as though you're living upside down. So let's look together at the passage that we just read together a moment ago and discover what the Bible says. The Bible says this, as the first principle, it says you must aim toward a worthy calling. You have to know what you're aiming for. When I look around this room today, I see a number of folks who enjoy hunting. You like to go out and you like to hunt. And you know as well as I do, that doesn't mean you go sit in a stand in the woods and just shoot in any direction. You have to know, this is why I'm here. This is what I'm accomplishing. This is what I am aiming for. And that's exactly what the Bible says. He says, therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Listen to this. The quality of your spiritual life will always be determined by how seriously you take the call of Christ in your life. The quality of your spiritual life will always be determined by how much you are seeking to please and be worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what will always be true in your spiritual life. If your commitment is superficial, if it's a kind of go to church on Sunday kind of thing, and that's about as deep as it ever goes, then you're going to live a life that is not aiming toward anything that matters. If you say to yourself, I will say a prayer now and then. Maybe we'll say a blessing when we're home before a meal. Maybe I'll do one of those forgive me of my sins and help me to walk with you type prayers, but I'm really not going to stop and think specifically about the ways I've gotten in trouble this week. Maybe you keep a superficial life, and you need to know this. If that commitment is superficial, the results are going to be superficial. You're never going to get more than you aimed for. But if your faith is the driving force of your life, then you will be counted worthy. If you are able to say to yourself, I don't care what anybody else thinks of me, as long as Jesus thinks well of me, as long as he is pleased with my life, as long as I'm aiming toward him, then your faith is going to grow deeper and stronger. The truth is, you have to aim toward a worthy life. Just before Christmas, I had a chance to talk with a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, who had just completed his Doctor of Ministry degree. And that's what he was talking to me about. He was talking about the great challenge that earning that degree had been, that it took years for him to accomplish it. He talked about all the classes and seminars he'd attended, all the books he had read, and all the papers he had written. He talked about the uncounted hours he'd spent writing and rewriting his dissertation, submitting it and having it corrected and submitting it yet again. He talked about how disciplined he had to be in order to complete what he was doing and how intimidating it was to defend that dissertation before a faculty committee. But then he talked about how rewarding it was. As hard as the effort had been, as much time as he had invested, the many nights that he had had to stay up late after the rest of the family had gone to bed to finish that degree, it was all worth it because he'd stuck it out and completed it. As he was telling me about this, I was thinking about my own experience in earning that degree. I remembered all the blood and sweat and tears, all the hours and the effort that I put into earning my doctor of ministry degree. But I also remembered another friend that lived nearby during the time when I was doing that, who decided that it was time for him to earn a PhD at the same time I was working so hard on this D-Min. But he found a different way to do things. He found a school, a correspondence school that he could apply to, and their requirements were write a 25-page paper and turn it in, and we'll give you a degree. And within about 6 weeks, he was finished earning his doctoral degree. I was sweating and working and traveling, but he got a degree in the mail that had a beautiful diploma that he placed proudly on the walls of his office. Now, here's the thing. What he did was so much easier and consumed so much less time than that degree I spent over 3 years completing. But that degree also had very little value. The value was now I have a piece of paper that I can put on my wall. I didn't work for anything. I didn't study anything. I didn't attend any classes. But I sent in my money, and they sent me a degree. Here's what I'm trying to say. And anything that costs you little has little value. The Lord wants you to remember that living a right side up life is a worthy calling. It won't be easy. There may be times when you'll wonder if it's worth it all. It may call for more effort than you ever imagined when you got into this thing called the Christian life. But when it's done, you'll be glad you did it. The question that we all have to face is this: will it be worth the cost? And if Christ is not the central commitment of your life, then your faith will not be worthy of Him. If your faith is an easy faith, a convenient faith, a superficial faith, it's just not going to be worth the cost. Here's what I want you to remember. We're only given one opportunity to live our lives. It begins, and more quickly than you can imagine, it comes to a conclusion. You only have one opportunity to decide who you're going to be, what you're going to do, what you're going to care about the most. You don't want to come to the end of your life and say, I never lived for any great purpose. You don't want to look back over all the allegiance you offered to unworthy causes and recognize that my faith never was what it should have been. It is the glory of a Christian to offer the Lord the best you have and the best you are. You are called. You are offered a worthy calling. And then he says this, Paul continues on and he says, and you're called to fulfill a great purpose. He said, and to fulfill the great pleasures of His goodness. It was Jesus Himself who told us to live to hear the Father say someday, well done, good and faithful servant. The same thing is true of fulfilling the good pleasures of the Lord. Here's one of the most critical questions you need to ask yourself. What is the standard by which I measure my life? If I'm going to live a right side up life, then I need to know, what are the standards? How do I know? Am I doing well? Am I doing poorly? Am I giving it the best I have? Or am I asking God to settle for the least? We have to decide what the standard is going to be. And some people set their standards low for their life. If I can experience personal pleasure, if I can invest my life in acquisition and acclaim, if I can have those things that reflect on me, then I'll be happy about my life. But God calls us to live according to a high standard, to live a life that the Lord will honor. If I'm going to live a right side up life, then that means I have to decide I want God to honor what I've given to Him. It's one thing to be saved, to become part of God's eternal family. It's another thing altogether to make pleasing God the primary goal of your life. To be able to say, as long as the Lord is pleased, I'm not really too concerned about anybody else. We need a driving purpose to make our life worth living. Sometimes that requires the best of what we have and who we are. To live a right side up life, you must be passionate about your commitment to please God above all things. And that leads to the third spiritual quality that the Lord requires. He says you're called to exercise life-changing faith. Paul continues on in Thessalonians and he says, and the work of faith with power. So what does powerful faith look like? This is what faith is all about. Faith is your relationship with Christ being expressed in concrete activities. It means my faith is not a mental thing. My faith is not an emotional thing. My faith is a practical thing. If I'm exercising faith, then I am actually doing things because I belong to Jesus. I live the way I live because I belong to Jesus. I act the way I act because I belong to Jesus. I talk the way I talk because I belong to Jesus. My life is all about belonging to Jesus. Faith is not real until it's expressed through active trust. This weekend, we're watching four football teams that are playing for the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl. And each one of them is committed to doing the best they can to earn that place in the biggest sporting event over the course of a year. Imagine what it would be like if one of the quarterbacks said to his star receiver, "You know, this is what I want you to do. Now we're moving down close. We're about to score. I want you to run down 30 yards to the 5-yard line. I want you to cut right into the end zone. The game-winning pass is going to be waiting for you. You catch it, we'll win the game." Sounds good enough. Instructions are clear. The receiver begins to think about the plan. Am I sure he's strong enough to throw it that far? Can he throw it that accurately if he can throw it that hard? What if a defender gets in the way? What if I run all that way, the ball falls into my hands, and I drop it? Think of all the things that could go wrong. Maybe the best thing I could do is just stay back and not run at all. I'll let somebody else run. I'll just stay here. Could he describe himself as being truly a member of the team, or is he just a guy who's standing there while everybody else is in action? The fact is, he will never know what could happen unless he takes off and runs. As Christians, you can talk about trusting God, but until you test His promises and find Him faithful, you will never know if He is trustworthy. What am I saying? I'm saying I can stand here behind this pulpit today and I can say to you, "Do you trust the Lord?" And you can say, "Yes, I trust the Lord. Without a doubt, I trust the Lord. There's no doubt about it. I've been a Christian a long time. I trust the Lord." And then I could say to you, "So what are you doing? How is it evident to other people that you trust the Lord? What happens when God's ways and the world around you's ways clash with one another? Which way are you going to go? What happens when you feel as though other people are finding fault with you because you belong to Jesus? Is that the time to duck and run, or is that the time to stand and serve? Am I trusting the Lord? Or am I just standing around watching what other people may be doing?" Here's the truth. The Lord has given every one of us spiritual gifts. We have gifts and talents that God has placed in our lives, and they've been given to us so we can use them. But if we don't commit ourselves to stepping out and boldly following Jesus, then those gifts are going to wither away. And they'll not be there anymore because we abandon God's gifts and calling. The Bible says that a vital Christian is one who's willing to take the risk, to offer love, to bear witness, to serve faithfully, to give without expecting return, to experience criticism and stand strong. Courageous faith says to the world, "I am on adventure in the service of Christ." You see, you're called to reveal the glory of Christ. I love this final phrase that Paul uses. He says this, "That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him." What is the purpose of my life? What keeps me standing up straight? I stand up straight so that the name of Jesus may be glorified in me and I in Him. It matters who you represent. When a man or woman dons a uniform in the service of this nation, they're expected to live up to the values of that service. You put on the uniform, you represent your branch of the service, you represent your nation, you represent a lot more than just yourself. And they want their lives to reflect our nation with honor. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to live for a higher calling, and that calling is to glorify Christ Jesus. I am called to reveal His glory. If I identify myself with Him, then my life is a testimony to the world. If I call myself a Christian, if I describe myself as a believer, then I have given permission to everybody around me to watch my life. Watch who I am. Watch how I live. Watch what I do. You have full permission to watch me because I am an example of what it means to follow Jesus. I'm called to glorify Him, to lift Him up through my life. The Lord challenges you to make every part of your life a means to glorify Christ. And here's the challenge. Here's the challenge that is worthy for the year to come. And living a right side up life in an upside down world means you are eager for everyone around you to notice the difference. I am eager for people to watch my life and see what Christ is doing in me. I'm not reluctant. I'm not inactive. I'm ready to live as a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's my question for you this morning. How's your spiritual equilibrium? How are you doing as standing straight and strong? Are you living the right side up life in an upside down world? Or are you ready to say, you know what? It's time for me to get serious. It's time for me to get serious about my personal relationship with God. It's time for me to get serious about my active service to Him. It's time for me to get serious about allowing the world around me to watch my life and discover what it means to follow Jesus. This morning you may be here, you're not a Christian. The truth is, if you're going to live a right side up life, it's got to begin by asking Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, to come into your life, and to give you an eternal life that will always be filled with the presence of Christ. And maybe if you're here and you're not a believer, today is the day when you need to come. I'll be here. Dr. Hutchins will be here. We would love to introduce you to Jesus. Or maybe you're here and you're saying to yourself, you know, I really do want to live that right side of life, but I need to know I'm surrounded by people who are going to help me do that. They're going to teach me the Word clearly and faithfully, and they're going to love me, and they're going to surround me, and I just need to become a member of First Baptist. I need to come up and say, today I plant my life at First Baptist Church. Or maybe you're here as a believer, and you're recognizing, you know what? It's just kind of time for me to renew my commitment, to say to the Lord, beginning today, I want you to know, Father, I'm committed to living that right set up life, whatever it takes. Is there a decision you need to make? We're going to stand. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. If you need to come, this is your day. You come. Let's stand together. Let's sing.
Come and see, come receive, come and
remind our college group that you're going to be having lunch with Laura in just a few minutes, right down on 152. It's going to be a really special time. I hope you're there. Let's bow together for a closing prayer. Thank you so much for a wonderful time of worship this morning, Evie and Nathan. We look forward to what you all have in store for us. Let's bow together. Let's pray. And then we'll be dismissed with our final song. So, Father, we do pray. Lord, we want to live right side up. Father, we confess to you that too many times we're inclined to choose upside down ways and upside down actions. But, Lord, we really want to be found pleasing to you. So, Lord, through the power of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, help us, Lord, to be those people who live upright lives in your name. Amen.